Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Settle down for just a moment so we can get together and worship the Lord this morning and receive our daily bread. Amen.
Amen.
One of the things I just want you to think about is that, last night you guys were doing karaoke and everything, and everybody was having a good time, and it's a part of fellowship and a part of people coming together and getting to know one another and being family. On the other side, we also have a very important job to do together. And there's a certain soberness that's associated with that. And we're getting closer towards the end of the week, and we've been talking a lot about steeling ourselves and arming ourselves and all of these different things. And I just want you to, as we come into this meeting, recognize that this meeting, this day, is an extremely important part of you doing that. Let's get our focus on the Lord. Let us receive what he has for us today. Let us take it. Let us not let it go. And let us go forward in it, putting it into practice. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
One line from that song I just want to draw out for a moment. And that is, your word is a lamp unto my feet. It's actually a scripture. Out of the Psalms, David writes it. And, we've been talking about receiving our marching orders.
That's right.
And we talk about it. One of the analogies the Lord's given me is as a map. Okay, map as the battle plans, if you will. And say, for example, everybody was to show up at my house in Vermont a week from now, and I were to give you a map. Y'all might believe that map's accurate. You might believe it. But you know what? It doesn't profit you until you step out in faith. You step out in faith by getting in your car and driving out of Grace Ranch and then taking like I-10 or whatever east. And then you take I-20 or whatever it is from there, and you keep going until you get to Vermont. And along the way, you may think, well, gosh, this doesn't look right. I've never been here before. Why is he taking me this way? And that is not the attitude that gets it done. The attitude that gets it done is, it's a lamp unto my feet. It says it, I'll do it. See, that's stepping out in faith. Faith is actually an action that you take. You say you believe God's word, so you step out in accordance with God's word. Right? That's where we were talking about, preach the gospel, heal the sick, and all of these things. The Bible says it, says he'll confirm his word with signs following, so you step out in faith in accordance with that. If you don't step out in faith, you can know it all you like. What's it say? Faith without works is dead. Hear that? Faith without works is dead. James said, I'll show you my faith by my works. Now, how do we get there? We've been talking about arming ourselves, right? Let's turn to Luke 17. And many of you, as you're turning to that, may remember that Jesus, when he came on this earth, he came in the form of a man. And he took unto himself, I'm trying to remember exactly how it describes it, the mind of a servant. That's what we're going into here. See, there are a lot of things you wouldn't do on your own, but when you're somebody else's servant and they ask you to do it,
yep,
you'll do it. Right? So it doesn't matter what you would do. I don't like to do that. How long does that servant last? I don't like to do that. That's not my job description. That's not for me. You better find somebody else to do that. Well, let's look at Luke 17. And it says, in the apostles, verse 5, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Anybody here want to pray a prayer like that? Anybody want to ask the Lord, increase my faith? Rick said we're a unit here. Increase our faith. Anybody need that? Increase. All right, amen. Let's get it. Increase our faith, Lord. Increase our faith. All right, let's see what he said. And the Lord said, If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now we're going to learn something here about the mustard seed. And the mustard seed is that type of seed that has a tenacious faith. It knows there's a sun. And ain't nothing going to stop it from getting to that sun. I mean, as Davy has said many times, and if you were to be with him when he was in Israel, you would have seen mustard trees growing right up out of the midst of boulders, having split them apart. Because that mustard seed, though it was under that boulder, knew there was a sun. So when it ran and it bumped its head up against a rock, it kept moving until it found a crack in that rock. And then it went into that crack, and it went into that crack, and it kept reaching towards the sun. Is that not what we're supposed to do? We go unto the Son of God. Amen. Amen. And that mustard seed just keeps going. And when you think of it in a military context, it's like this. You got green troops. Don't have any experience. You throw them out there. They're not the ones that you're really scared of. The ones the enemy is scared of is the ones who are battle tested. Remember Davy saying we don't know how we're going to respond in a particular situation until we're in it? Well, see, the battle tested ones, the ones who've gone through, are the ones who've been engaged in battle, come through, know how they will respond, have learned how to deal with those things, so that the enemy is the one that's defeated and not them. Okay, the enemy's the one that's going down, not them. Okay, that's the attitude we have to have. Now let's see, how do we get there? Let's watch. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Jesus came with the mind of a servant. Remember Jesus? You know, he would tell people, look, don't tell anybody about what I just did. And then they'd go and tell it, so he couldn't even walk. He couldn't do anything in those places. He had no peace. Did he get angry and turn and stop serving the people? Or did he continue to serve them all through the night? And then when it was night, he then sent his disciples away, and he would go alone, get alone with his Father, so that he could be recharged for the next day. He was never thinking of himself. He never begrudged a single bit of the service that he was given to do. He was grateful for the opportunity to serve. See, a true servant is one who's grateful. I mean, a servant, you know the thing, you take that song they have in, what's that cartoon, Beauty and the Beast? A servant who's not serving. Remember that song they sing where they're talking about, because they don't have any, I mean, since he became a beast, they don't have anybody they can serve. Because nobody's coming around. I mean, who wants to hang out with a beast? And when, whatever her name is, Belle comes in to the story, now they can serve and they rejoice at the opportunity to just make dinner. They break into song of joy at the opportunity to do that which they were created to do. Is that your attitude? Is that your attitude? Is your attitude that you wake up every morning looking for that opportunity in that manner, no matter how menial it may seem to you, by which you can serve your risen Lord? Jean and I were talking yesterday because the Lord showed her to grow her hair out. It's a small thing. It may not seem small to her because she's had her hair short for like forever. I don't want to give away her age or anything like that. But you follow what I'm saying? But to do that's a very simple thing. In fact, it saves money. I don't even have to go to the hairstylist to cut my hair. And when it's as short as hers, you got to go pretty often because I don't know about you, but I mean, if I kept my hair as short as hers, I'd have to be there like every 2 or 3 weeks or something like that because it would be growing out. Obviously, I don't do that, so I look funny a lot of the time. But it's a very simple thing. And I remember when I came to the Lord and Davey told me that I was under everybody. He said even his dog had more discernment than me. Forgive me, Lord. And all of it was true. Every single bit of it. And to me, it was a joy. I remember, it was just so easy to serve the Lord. All I had to do was do dishes and give people coffee and clean bathrooms and serve coffee to people and be waking people up in the morning and taking people home from Bible study and doing all of these things. To me, it's probably the most absolutely joyous time I ever have had in my life. And to me, everything just seemed so simple. And it seemed that those who weren't serving, I always thought, gosh, I mean, they're missing the good stuff. I mean, I got the good stuff. I'm cleaning the toilet. It was actually such an overwhelming joy, it's hard to describe it to you unless you've experienced it. But I used to just rejoice and sing as I would be doing these things and praising the Lord and praying unto Him. It gave me time to do everything when I was doing that. And it was such an unbelievable joy. And the scripture tells us that faith worketh by love. Faith worketh by love. And how do you manifest your love? By obedience, which is service, is it not? What's he say? If you love me, keep my commandments. So it's by your obedience, which is your service, that it works. So you want to have faith as a grain of mustard seed? You want to be a tried and true and know how you'll respond in different situations? You want to become a soldier in the Lord? Serve. Wake up every day not looking for opportunities for people to serve you, but for you to serve them. Serve. And never stop serving. And never begrudge the fact that others are the beneficiaries of your service. Be grateful for that. You know, when you have that attitude, there's no judgment on others. When you're a servant, there's no judgment. It's just, yes, yes, sir, no problem. Yes, ma'am, no problem. I will do that. I'm pleased to do that. No attitude whatsoever. I am pleased. I am exceedingly joyful at the opportunity to do a water run. I'm exceedingly joyful at the opportunity to go to Walmart and pick up something for somebody who needs it. I'm exceedingly joyful to be able to scrape your plate and toss it in the trash can or whatever. I'm exceedingly joyful to do these things. Arm yourself with that mind, and you will become a mighty servant of the Lord. Isn't that what we're supposed to be? A servant of the Lord? Isn't that what Paul called himself? Isn't that what Peter called himself? A servant of the Lord? Well, arm yourself with that mind. And the experiences you have in that, in overcoming all the obstacles in the way of you accomplishing that service, is what will steel you and try you and strengthen and fortify you in the faith. Amen? Paul, come on up here.
One of the things that kind of struck me was, you know, we were chatting about the way police agencies have gotten kind of brazen in the way they treat people. And if I can find it here. In Luke 22, verse 52, Jesus said to the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, "Be ye come out against a thief with swords and staves, when I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour, and the power of darkness." Jesus was freely walking about them, and they came against him armed, as if to take a thief. And scripture says, you know, it's good enough for you to be as your master. You know, we're not greater than our master. If he has been treated this way, we're going to be treated this way. And that's part of the hardness as a good soldier that we have to endure. But, you know, as Steve was talking, there's a joy in single focused commitment to serve the Lord. And when they come against you, it's not a testimony to your great your greatness. It's a testimony to his greatness. But your expectations and your commitment have to be, as 1 John says, if you abide in me, if you say you abide in him, then you shall also walk as him. If you walk as him, you're going to stir up the enemy. And the hardness that Jesus had to endure was rejection of the people, and ultimately the Father turned his back on him. And most of his servants were gone as he was on the cross. Yet he was obedient unto death and rejection of everyone. You know, I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to be rejected of y'all. I don't want to be rejected of God. And that, Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith is something you'll say without seeing that it is the quality of the faith and not the quantity of the faith. I want the quality of faith that enabled Jesus to love those who rejected him enough, to love those who rejected him enough to go to the cross for them. We have been given the marching orders of taking the gospel out there. Jesus said, if you would follow after me, pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. There's nothing in us naturally that wants to do that. But anybody who's tasted of his grace and his mercy has tasted of something that is not natural. And I want to give to other people an opportunity that he gave me. Something I didn't deserve. And I can know they don't deserve either, but I know he's good. And if it means enduring some hardness along the way, Jesus did it. And he came as a man. And I know I can do it. I want to please him who sent me.
Thank you, Paul. Praise the Lord for today. I thank God every day. I want to go over to Colossians. Now, what I'd like to do, read the whole thing. I'm going to let you do that. There's a couple of things here I want to look at. Verse 9, chapter 1. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Every one of you have that privilege. You have the privilege of being filled with all knowledge and spiritual revelation. I think that's what it said, isn't it? Understanding. It's one thing to know a thing. It's another thing to understand a thing. Part of understanding a thing is to be able to explain a thing. What good is it if you know a thing and you can't explain it? I get a kick out of Steve and Charlie. Charlie will go try to explain something to Steve. Steve ain't got a clue what he's talking about. Charlie knows what he's talking about. But Steve ain't got a clue. Because Charlie hadn't learned how to take that stuff and out of the hayloft and put it down on the ground where that cow can eat it. That's what we got to do. That's where this comes in handy here. Knowledge of his will in all wisdom, spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You don't walk worthy because you're good. You walk worthy because he's filled you with the wisdom and the knowledge. Amen. He has given you his blood. He has saved you. He has given you of his spirit. He gives you his wisdom. He gives you his knowledge. You have to use it. He gives you this that you may walk worthy. Not worthy in this, but worthy of him giving that out which he gives you. That a man will come after me. Got to take up his cross and follow him. What good is it to walk around if you can't take the things of God and give them out? When you take the things of God and give them out, you are walking worthy. Amen? Man goes and builds a boat. It's a beautiful boat. Oh, it's so pretty. Made of mahogany and spruce and all painted up. And, oh, man, it just looks so good. He puts it out in the water and it sinks. What good is it? Take it home, dry it out, hang it on the wall, and call it art. A lot of Christians like to hang on a wall and call themselves art. They come to church all prettied up. Preachers with their bouffant hairdos and their three-piece suits. Art. Looks good on the wall. But it don't float. If you can't take the things of God that he's given you and give them out to other people, you don't float. I remember a story years ago a church hall used to tell. And I used to get a real big kick out of it. He was preaching in Arizona on the Indian reservation. And him being a Cherokee Indian, young at the time, was real concerned with how the Indian chief thought of his preaching. And so he got one of his guys to go over and ask the Indian chief what he thought. And Brother Hall kind of saddled up behind to kind of listen in. So he said, well, what did you think of Brother Hall's preaching? Chief said, much wind, much thunder, very little rain. Brother Hall said that stuck out to him more than anything anybody had ever said. And he determined he was going to have less wind and more rain. Less thunder and more rain. That's what we have to do. You can go out there and talk till you're blue in the face. You can go out there and make all kinds of noise and racket and get excited. But where's the rain? See, what good is Charlie's knowledge of computers if he can't relay that knowledge in a language that someone as ignorant as Steve can understand it? What good is it? It's only good to Charlie. Amen? So what good is it if you know that Jesus Christ is God from the beginning? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and by him what? Hey, you. The Word. Jesus. You can know all that. You can know about his coming down and being made a man. By the Virgin, without sin, because he did not come as the seed of Adam, but by the Holy Ghost. That he walked a perfect, sinless life in communication with the Father and obeyed all things the Father said and all things the Father did and never spoke a thing that the Father hadn't told him to speak. Can you imagine doing that? Can you imagine coming to that place where you only spoke when the Lord said, speak? And you only said when the Lord said to say what he said? I remember years and years ago, I used to think that preaching had to be a certain length of time. And sometimes the Lord would have me go for hours. You remember those days, don't you, Robin? Well, I've actually seen the days when the sun was coming up and I was still preaching. Nobody left because God was there. Amen? Amen. You want to preach where God is there? Amen. To speak the things God gives you. You see? And then I've seen people get up, and I've done it in the past, where I'd come to a place and feel, well, I should be saying more. So I'd be looking for something to say. When the Lord was saying, I'm finished, I'm leaving, let's get out of here. You're done, shut up. But you think, well, I just got to try to get something else out. I just got to try to get something else out. No, you don't. Say what God wants you to say and get out. I remember hearing about one of the greatest revivals that ever hit Florida. Great revival hit Florida. Guy was called up to preach. And all he said was Jesus. That's all he said. Couldn't think of anything else. He just said Jesus and the Holy Spirit fell and they had a revival. Hallelujah. I'd like to have been the one that preached that sermon. Much wind, much thunder, very little rain. Huh? Remind me of the rainstorm we had today. Wasn't that an awesome rainstorm? I said, Paul, it's raining. He said, really? No. Yeah, come on. I went outside. Yeah, it's raining. I can see 10 or 12 drops on the ground. That reminds me of some of our preaching sometimes. I'm saying some of ours, and what I really mean is some of yours. I just want you to think I'm humble and include myself in that, see. Much wind, much thunder, very little rain. But look what here. Giving us knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding that you may walk worthy, might walk worthy, of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's good stuff. I didn't know I was going to say that when I got up here. I don't know. I asked the Lord, show me a scripture. He showed me that. I didn't know what he was going to do with it. But this is for me as well as for you. Be fruitful. How do you be fruitful? By giving it out in a way that people can understand and receive. Following it up with the power of God. We've seen the power of God here this week. This little boy right here, who's shown us the power of God over a period of time. How God has moved through him and worked with him. And watch this. It was through him. Now, I know I'm going to have to bust his head down here later, but It was through him that his stepdad received the Lord and received him for real. If he hadn't gotten it right, and if he hadn't shown it in a way that Edmund could see it, Edmund wouldn't have left here in tears and happy and ready to go forward in the Lord. He got one thing right. See if we can get something right tomorrow. Amen?
Amen.
He was fruitful. Are you going to be fruitful? All right. I want to go to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 3. Now, it's going to be something interesting here. I never saw it before in quite this way. But we want to accomplish what we just talked about. Amen? Then if you want to accomplish that, don't put yourself in a situation that's going to weaken you. Amen? You don't go into battle. You don't prepare for battle by cutting yourself and bleeding yourself. Amen? That's the last thing you want. In fact, in battle, you want to avoid it. All right. Chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Now, to be glorified, the word of the Lord being glorified is followed up with his power. Amen. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Amen? Now, when I used to read this, and I used to look at this, I used to think of people like Hitler, you know, Muslims, dirtbag drug addicts. That's the kind of people I used to think of. Wouldn't you normally think of that? Huh? Let's read on. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. What is evil? Unbelief. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Now we're getting to the crux of the matter. Paul's saying, I have confidence you're going to do and will do what I command you to do. See, that's one thing I've lacked in this ministry. I've lacked confidence that those that are in this ministry will do what I've commanded them to do. I haven't had that confidence. But I now have the confidence that you will do those things that I command you to do. Let's read on. You're going to be surprised by what happens here. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. I like that. The Lord direct your heart. Now, you're not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'll direct my heart anywhere but there. And so will you. I've seen it. Even this week. And some of you that I've seen it in don't even know it was there. aren't even aware of it. But God is going to direct your heart. Into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. That word patient there. Sure, steadfast. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received, of us. Now let's go back up. That ye may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. See, he's not talking about Hitler. He's not talking about a drug dealer here. He's not talking about the Muslims here. He's talking about people that call themselves Christians who have not the faith and don't walk in obedience to the Lord and to his word and to his authority. Huh? Let it not be named with us anymore. It's been there in the past. Let's not let it be anymore. The past is gone. It's under the blood of Jesus. It's covered by his grace. Every day is a new day. Every day is a bright day. Every day is the resurrection. Amen. Let us remember that. Let us go forth in that. Let us go forth resurrected in him. Amen. And we will glorify his word. And he will direct our hearts to love and patience. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm done.
On that song, the thing that was coming to me, and Rick had done it on an earlier song, is we're a unit now. Amen. We will do these things. Amen. And it's a declaration as much as I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me, was a declaration by Paul. Right. Amen. Let us do likewise.